Good morning and welcome to our junior church service, which is going to be about fruits of the Spirit. We have a lot lined up for you today with many activities. You will have all been given a piece of paper, and now I am asking you to please put your own name on that paper. No, put your own name on the paper. Yeah. Has everybody done that? Now I'm going to ask you to give your paper to somebody on the other side of the room. If you cannot find somebody on the other side of the room, please find somebody else that has not been able to swap and swap with them. My glamorous assistant will be around to help those who aren't able to move and swap. If you have got the name of somebody that you don't know very well, at the end of the service, you may go and ask somebody for some help. But now, please can you now look at your new paper, and during the service, we want you to think about the fruits and gifts this person brings to our church family.
So, as is tradition with our family services, I'm going to do a little quiz. And as you can see on the screen, or maybe not, is it a fruit or is it a vegetable? So, I'm going to show you a vegetable, and you're going to put your hand up if you think it's actually a fruit. So, let's start with the first one. Is a tomato really a fruit? Shall we see? Yes, it is. Next one. Are peppers really fruits? Let's see. Yes, they are. What's next? Are carrots really fruit? That seems like a convincing no. Let's see. No, they're not. What about cucumbers? Ooh. Let's see. Yes, cucumbers are fruit. What about green beans? Shall we see? Yes, they are fruit. How about broccoli? Broccoli is not a fruit. What about pumpkins? Yeah. Pumpkins are fruit. And the last one, are olives really fruit? Yes, olives are fruit. There were two no's. Now we're going to play a little game. So, yes. We would like you to choose your favourite flavour of sweet and keep it in your hand. Do not eat the sweets. So, has everybody got a sweet? Awesome. So, by not opening your sweets, you are now practicing self-control and patience because you can't actually eat it until the lesson's over.
So, does everyone like the flavour of sweet that they have chosen? Yes. Philip, is that a yes? Yes. Wonderful, great. So, now you're all experiencing joy because you're happy that you've got the correct flavour of sweet. Now, I want you to turn to a friend and give them your sweet. God commands us to love one another. If we love someone, we want them to have the best. It is also kindness to give something to someone that we really wanted to ourselves. So you are now experiencing kindness.
If we gave our sweet away to get a better one, would that be kindness or love? it would be neither, because it would be selfishness, because we would be doing something for our own pleasure, which is not a fruit of the Spirit.
Now, give your lollipop, give your sweet to the person on your left. This is goodness. Everyone should have got back the sweet that they originally chose. Everyone should have got back the sweet that they originally chose. It doesn't really matter. This is joy. Give thanks to God for your sweets and that you got your favourite flavour back.
Hopefully.
This is faithfulness.
Now pretend your sweet is an egg and it's very fragile. You can open it now, but carefully. This is gentleness. You can eat your sweet, but very, very quietly. This was meant to be peace. You have now experienced all the fruits of the Spirit.
Father, please grow in me a deep love for you and a selfless love for my family and those I meet each day. Father, please grow in me a joyful spirit so that I can rejoice and give praise at all times.
Father, please fill me with your perfect peace that passes understanding, in which guards my heart and mind. Grow in me the ability to trust you rather than to worry and fret.
Father, please grow in me the grace to be patient and to wait on you. Help me to endure hardships calmly and without complaining.
Father, please grow in me a generous and compassionate attitude that is always looking to help others.
Father, please grow in me integrity and uprightness that I may glorify you. Father, please grow in me the grace of your faithfulness to you and no doubt your love and turn away. Please grow in me the grace to be faithful in all my other relationships.
Father, please grow in me a gentle and gracious attitude towards others.
Father, please grow in me self-control and discipline. Help me not to be indulgent in any area of my life.
Good morning, everyone. I hope you're all enjoying the family service so far, or the junior church service so far. The weather outside is very warm. It feels like we're finally arriving at summer, which is a good feeling for some. But for others that don't like the heat, like myself, no, it's not good. I'm roasting to death in my house. Anyway, this service has been about fruits of the Spirit. We've had us reading out cards with the fruits of the Spirit on. We've been praying about the different fruits. We've had Beth's quiz. I've been looking around to try and find some facts, not online, but I asked Alice last week. I said, have you got any interesting facts about fruit? And she gave me one. So did you know that the little foam banana sweets, the flavourings that they use to get those banana sweets, are from an extinct species of banana called Gross Michael, which was wiped out by fungus in the 1950s. So that is why when you eat those little banana sweets, they don't actually taste of banana. And that's why we eat the bananas that we eat today, is because the fungus wiped out the ones that we actually liked. So we're now just left with the other ones. And we're having to enjoy those. So thank you, Alice, for that fact. So, most plants produce a fruit of one kind or another, but not all fruit is good. I can remember that when I was little, I would go out for walks with my grandma and granddad. We would go out and we'd look at the berries and the bushes. And I can remember my grandparents telling me that you're better to go for the ones that are higher up because it's less chance that like something will have happened to it when it's closer to the ground. Make sure you wash it before you eat it. that all that kind of stuff, and they taught me how to tell whether fruits were ripe or not. The underlying point is that not all fruits are good for you, and not all fruits are one of your five a day. Some are poisonous, like the little red berries that people tell you not to eat, and they can make you ill. Different plants grow different fruits. If you see an apple tree, you expect the tree to give you apples. If you see a bramble, you expect it to give you blackberries. And in the passage from Galatians, Paul talks about the fruit that we can expect to grow from a Christian. This is what he calls the fruit of the Spirit. What we expect to see when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit as a Christian. Someone who loves and follows Jesus should grow in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I'd say that bearing the fruit of the Spirit is better than growing apples. I'd much rather wake up with patience, kindness, and self-control than wake up with apples coming out of my arms. But that's not to say that a Christian automatically just grows those fruits without any effort. Just like the fruit tree needs care and attention to ensure it grows the correct crops abundantly, a Christian will need to put in some effort to grow in the right direction, just like the fruit trees have farmers. When I was younger, I had a book with loads of different choices throughout. It was one of those ones where you would open the page, it'd give you a scenario, and it'd say, if you choose to turn left down the corridor, go to page 57. If you choose to turn right, go to page 73. Like, one of those things. Then you make your decision, you'd be faced with another choice. So you might end up going and fighting a goblin, going and accidentally walking to a massive pit of spikes, that kind of stuff. I loved that you could choose your own story, choose your own plot, and make your own way in the book. And it became obvious very quickly that not all the choices that you can make are the correct choices. For example, as I mentioned earlier, the massive pit of spikes doesn't sound like a nice day out. Our choices are part of what Paul writes about in Galatians. And just before he talks about the fruit of the Spirit, he talks about the works of the flesh. Or, as we in junior church have called it, the vegetables of the devil. I think for ease of my own brain, and because I prefer the term, I'm going to use vegetables of the devil. He says that we have a choice about what we grow in our lives. That doesn't mean that everything our bodies do is horrible and everything spiritual is good. God made this physical world and made us physical creatures, so laughing, singing, dancing and loving are God-given pleasures. Our physical bodies have been given to us by God, and he isn't calling us to reject the physical world, despite how messed up and broken it is. So, Jan, your Saturday nights can continue being spent dancing to Tom Jones. What Paul is talking to us about is how we use the freedom which Jesus has given us. When we look at the vegetables of the devil and the fruits of the Spirit, we are being encouraged to think about how we choose to live in this world. We will choose to live in a way, that is selfish and ultimately deeply damaging, or in a way which is good and helps us grow into bigger Christians. Paul encourages us to use our freedom that Jesus has bought us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us choose to serve Christ and others in a way that our lives become a blessing to others and ourselves. In Galatians, Paul told the church that they had a very clear choice. They could choose to argue, fight, and try to get their own way, or they could move closer to God and become a Christian. And then, with the Holy Spirit's help, they could choose a way of life which is life-giving. Paul promises them that they will then produce a very good life-giving fruit in their lives which will glorify God and help other people. While we were discussing this topic in junior church, we talked about having fruit of the Spirit rather than vegetables of the devil. Maybe it sounds a little bit strange to use the term vegetables of the devil, so I will just explain to you why I do it now. It's because I think it's easier for me, maybe it's because I'm younger and I find it really funny, but I find it easier for my brain to just comprehend vegetables of the devil and then fruit of the spirit. I just find it's nice. So if you think about the fruits of the spirit, patience, kindness, self-control, gentleness, etc., and then you take the opposite, then you have exactly what we call the vegetables of the devil. Shall we play a little bit of a game? I say a fruit of the spirit, and you tell me the opposite. I won't do all of them because you will probably get bored. So, let's start with love. Hate. Wonderful. Goodness.
Badness.
Amazing. Not amazing, but amazing. Self-control. More difficult. It's more difficult to find the words apart from no control. So I'll give you no control, yes. Faithfulness.
Unfaithfulness.
Wonderful. So these are the things that temptation gives you. And my mum, who is a doctor, is going to hate me for saying this, but don't eat your vegetables. Just stick to the fruits. This issue of being clear about who we are and what our core values really are is relevant for us all as well today. We just need to look around us to know that things are not as they should be. Much of this is due to our insecurity, our fears, and our greed. Think about the environment. Most scientists agree that we are close to an environmental catastrophe. And that reason is because we've exploited the world's resources, causing global warming and species extinction, instead of caring for the world. The whole world is at each other's throats. It seems like no matter where you look, there's some sort of conflict. This again is due to people wanting more power, more money, more land, wanting more and more and more. And they don't realise that none of it is important. If we think about the things that we buy in shops, we know that millions and millions of people around the world are exploited for profit, that are working in bad conditions and are getting poor pay. If we think about our relationships, we don't have to look far to see disagreements, arguments, and the breakdown of friendships and families. Choosing the vegetables of the devil, or in this term it seems better to use its proper name, the works of the flesh, means that our lives and the world around us becomes more and more selfish, more greedy, more jealous, more wasteful, more unkind. And that actually makes us less free, which is really strange because you would think that it would do the opposite. It would make us feel liberated. It would give us more liberation because we are not living by the laws that God gives us. We are doing our own thing, but it makes us less free. It ends up enslaving us. For example, if we decide that we will argue with someone because we're determined to get our own way and therefore refuse to listen or talk to the other person, we will often end up trapped and cut off. I've had lots of arguments with people, just ask my parents. It happens a lot. And it never ends well. Everyone here has had arguments with people, unless you're some sort of miracle. And it never really ends well. Choosing the easiest way out really isn't the best decision. Being a good person isn't always easy, and being a good Christian isn't always easy either. If we took the easy way out of everything, then we wouldn't hold our relationship with God. Life has its ups and downs. It's so important that we stand by our faith through its hardships and its struggles. If we choose to exercise our freedom by doing something that we know is wrong, we will end up lying that in the end we are not true to ourselves and we are trapped. Lying to ourselves is just as bad as lying to other people. If we give way to envy because we feel someone else is better than us or has something that we would like to have, we end up ignoring all of the gifts that God has poured down upon us and instead allowing ourselves to be eaten up by envy. And so we're trapped. Fortunately, by God's grace, we have the ability to choose a way of living which is life-giving rather than destructive. And this choice begins with being clear and honest with ourselves and with other people. And we need to decide where our choice and where our loyalties lie. The only thing that we should want is a relationship with God. You know that, I know that. We need to lead that kind of lifestyle, live by one of my favourite quotes. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Be this change. Push away the want and embrace God. It's much easier said than done. I absolutely know that. Like, sometimes things happen where you feel like you're pushed away. And it's easy for me to stand up here and go, just come closer to God. And sometimes it's not that easy, which is why it's difficult. If we choose to build our lives on Christ, delighting in the fact that we are his beloved children, then we can take the first steps along the path which is life-giving and fruitful, and we can too bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. However, it isn't us that makes the fruit grow, like I mentioned earlier. They're not called fruits of the humans. It's always God who grows this fruit of the Spirit in our lives. They are the gifts of God by the power and the Holy Spirit. Where we come in this is how we respond to these gifts. We could ignore them, or we could cultivate them and consciously choose to apply each other of these 9 fruits in the way that we lead our lives. If we do that, we can form our life-giving character as Christians. Think about it like a farmer growing his crops. Again, I'm going to give you another little anecdote about me when I was younger with my grandparents. Before, I think, 10 years ago, when you two, like my grandparents used to live down in Rochester, which is in Kent, and I can remember going down to my granddad's allotment with him, going and seeing all the plants grow. I mean, even after he's come up here, growing plants in his gardens, all that kind of stuff. And I can remember going and seeing that and seeing people grow. Without my granddad helping those plants and seeds grow and nurture into big, like, fruit-bearing plants, they would just still be the seeds. God and his Spirit are the ones that grow us like a farmer grows his crops. Let's just remind ourselves of the fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Are you always patient? No. If you answered yes, you're a liar. That's not me saying it in a mean way, because if you were, then you would be God in human form and we need to absolutely worship you. More than I care to admit, for me, I am not patient. But when we fail, we have the privilege of asking God to forgive us and fill us with the fruit of the Spirit so that we can try again. No one can live a perfect life apart from Jesus, which is why, if you answered yes, I don't think you're being 100% truthful. But in a general way, we can become more like Jesus throughout the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. We can become more Christ-like in showing love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Self-control is an interesting one. Trying our best to turn away from the bad choices, trying, despite our human weaknesses, to allow God's light to overcome the darkness in our lives. So instead of reacting with anger or sharp words when we are angry or upset, we consciously choose to offer kindness and welcome to others. And where we find this really hard is to pray to God to help us. In a similar way, when we take the conscious decision to be peacemakers rather than the people who insist on getting their own way regardless of the cost, remarkable things can happen. For if we again consciously try to listen to each other and find ways of reconciliation rather than storming away in anger, we can create a future where we can work together rather than living in fear in our own little echo chambers. Finally, let's think about the fruit of the Spirit, which the church has always valued above all. I've been here for the best part of my life, probably about, I'm 15 now, so 13 years, about. And I've always seen this. It's love. What is love? Having a deep felt concern for other people and for the well-being of our world that goes beyond the concern we have for ourselves, that's huge. because it's the opposite of selfishness. Love drives us outwards to serve others. It's the fruit for which we pray, not just for ourselves, but for us as a church and as a Christian community in Swallow Nest and the wider areas. So, to close, let's have a little time of prayer. Lord, I ask the Holy Spirit to highlight which of the fruits of the Spirit needs to be watered in our lives. We ask that God will indeed bless us and help us to grow in these fruits in life. And we pray that your love shows us the way forward and that we go forth from here praising you and bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Amen. So take away from what I've said. I know I've said it already, it's much easier said than done to just say, grow the fruits of the Spirit, get closer to God, like open your arms, because it's not, sometimes it's just not that easy. But show your fruits of the Spirit. People will tell you, I'm sure Thomas, I think he's going to come up and give you an announcement on what to do with those pieces of paper. But make sure that you listen and that you show what you have and bear the fruits that you have.
So with the paper that you have been given, I want you to write down one or as many as you can of the fruit of the Spirit that that person brings into our church family. To close our service, we're going to say the grace. The grace of our Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us evermore. Amen. And now, just to finish, we want you to give your piece of paper back to the person whose name is on it. Thank you for joining us.
Just speaking to me and saying how amazing these young people are and what a blessing they are to our church. And just to say that you are just so precious and just thank you. And all the guys in Junior Church, you've given them a little bit of a help. You've been amazing, all of you. Thank you very much. Thank you.